It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Researchers at the University of Florida are working on treatments during pregnancy that could have health benefits that stay with babies in their adult lives.
Now they've brought their research here to Wisconsin's National Primate Research Center to bring it a step closer to reality.
But the organ in question, the placenta, is not very well understood. In fact, after a baby is born, the placenta is usually discarded as medical waste.
To help us learn more about this mysterious transient organ, Helen Joines is with us. She's an associate professor at the University of Florida. Her research focuses on the placenta's role in problematic pregnancies. Helen, welcome to the show.
Sure, I'm happy to be here.
Well, how does the placenta impact a baby's birth weight and other starting off health conditions?
Sure. The placenta is really important for everybody that's ever born. It's responsible for creating the environment during development that grows the baby. It regulates the supply of all of the nutrients and the oxygen that a baby needs as it grows. And so if there are issues with the placenta, if it's not formed properly or if it's not working properly, this can obviously impact the birth weight at delivery. We are really interested in not only just understanding how the placenta works and what goes wrong during complicated pregnancies, but also aiming to really develop treatments for the future. And really come up with an intervention that would help those complicated pregnancies that goes beyond what's available today, which is very limited.
So what is the intervention?
Yeah, so we're really replacing something that's missing and we know is missing in a lot of these pregnancies that are complicated when the fetus doesn't grow properly. And so that is a protein named insulin-like growth factor 1, IGF-1. And we know that placentas that aren't working very well maybe don't make as much of this as they should do. And so we're simply replacing this and helping the placentas just make the right amount. And so we deliver a nanoparticle which contains the gene for this protein. And then the cells of the placenta are the only ones that can actually read the instructions that we put inside this nanoparticle. And so they make the protein. And then that protein concentration locally to the placenta is actually what impacts the function and the development of the placenta.
Now you're working there at the University of Florida. How did your research ending up over the big stop here in Wisconsin?
So we've been working on this project for about 14 years now, and we've been working with different collaborators over the years, and we were really starting to get interested in this coming to the clinic. And obviously there's a big difference between the animal models we use in the lab frequently, like mice and guinea pigs, and humans. And so the intermediate there is actually using non-human primates. And so we work with the Wisconsin Primate Center.
And we'll talk to Jenna Schmidt from the Primate Center in just a little bit. But talk us through the kind of stages that go into research like this. People might hear that 14-year number and be surprised. What are the steps along the path to something that we could actually be trying in humans?
Yeah, it does sound like a long time, but realistically, you know, getting something from the bench all the way to bedside is more like a 25-year process, so it's never fast. But along the way, we've had to develop the mechanisms that we use to actually do our research, develop ways to deliver the treatment to the placenta. That's clearly not a normal target for drugs. And we've been working our way through our animal models and also our models of human placenta that we use in the lab in pots. And so each of these takes funding and time. And over the last 14 years, we've sort of worked our way up the species ladder. So we're now able to be testing this in the primates.
Can you talk about, we're talking about one particular piece of research you're doing on placentas. What are some of the wider things? What are some of the other avenues of research you're pursuing?
So we also look at the placenta in cases of congenital heart defects to see if we can actually impact those pregnancies, better prepare those individuals to be born ready to face like a very invasive surgery, for example. We're also interested in other pregnancy complications. Among the group here, we have interest in preterm birth, some in preeclampsia, really just trying to expand what we know about these complications and how we might be able to develop interventions for them.
It sounds like there are a lot of open questions when it comes to placenta research. What are the things you're most hoping to answer, apart from what you were just mentioning about congenital heart defects?
So I think, you know, the biggest thing is, what can we identify that we can maybe improve or change in these complicated pregnancies, whether it's preeclampsia or fetal growth restriction, to really change the lives of the two individuals involved in these pregnancies. So to give all the kids, you know, a good start, if you start the right size and you're not born too early, that's a great start to life. And there are lots of problems after complicated pregnancies for the mum as well. So if you have problems during your pregnancy, you may be more likely to have more long health term problems in later life as that woman as well. So it's really important that we start to think, you know, about intervening during this time and try changing some of these complications and getting these pregnancies back to what would be a more normal environment.
Now, you were just mentioning that the placenta is not a common target for this kind of medical intervention. Why is that? Is it because it's a unique sort of organism, or is it because there hasn't been a lot of research on this kind of thing, or maybe a little of both?
So it's a bit of a historical bit of both, really. So unfortunately, the placenta lives within what's sort of looked at as women's health, and historically women's health has been extremely underfunded and underinvestigated. And while the placenta is indeed inside that pregnant woman, it actually belongs to the fetus. And so therefore, you know, this is human health. This is impacting all of humankind, not just women. And so, you know, lack of funding, lack of understanding, a little bit of a lack of bravery. So obviously, if you've got two individuals that you would be treating, historically, there was a thought that, you know, you don't want to do anything that may hurt that pregnancy. But of course, this has led a lot of people to be very wary of trying to actually do an intervention and trying drugs. And so the development of drugs and therapeutics in pregnancy is very, very slow. And the inclusion of pregnant women in standard drug trials has really been missing for many, many years. But there are lots of groups around the country and around the world that do collect placentas for research. And so, you know, if you're approached, it's a very easy organ to give to research if there are people in your area that can actually use it for research. There are obviously a lot more people delivering than people doing the research. And if you happen to be delivering at those areas, you know, you can certainly ask if there's anybody doing research on, you know, any aspects of the pregnancy or the tissues that come from it.
And Helen, if I'm hearing you right, you're saying there's not enough of this kind of research on placentas and possible interventions and the impact it has on health. What would you like people who are making grants and, you know, approving research and things like that, what would you like them to be thinking about?
So I think this is the really difficult question to ask, which is, we'd love you to give more funding for this sort of research during pregnancy. But realistically, the impact of this, while it is seen short term, you know, hopefully less children end up in the NICU, things like that, you're really changing those lives for the rest of their health span and their lifetime. And so you have to look sort of, you know, we ask our funding bodies to look 50 years into the future, these babies being born the right size, maybe at much less risk for things like type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease during their later life. And of course, that's a big economical impact as well. So, you know, intervene now before birth and potentially change those lifespans for the rest of those lives.
Helen, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That was Helen Jones, associate professor at the University of Florida, studying the placenta's role in complicated pregnancies. Right now, she's looking for treatments during pregnancy that could reduce the risk of low birth weight. To take those treatments to the next level, Helen brought her research here to Wisconsin. That's where Jenna Schmidt comes in, research assistant professor at UW-Madison's Wisconsin National Primate Research Center. Her lab is collaborating with Helen's to bring placenta-fortifying treatments closer to human clinical trials. Jenna, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
How did you get brought on board with this research, collaborating with the University of Florida?
Yeah, so Helen has been working in this area for quite some time, and she was working on several different animal models and testing this potential therapeutic or delivery strategy for the therapy. And in most, you know, in most studies, what you need to do is start in a small animal model and then work your way into a larger animal model. And in this case, the non-human primates or the rhesus macaques are really close to human pregnancy. And so they're the, you know, next model to really show that it is effective and can be a useful or developed into a safe delivery strategy for moving closer to human clinical trials. And so she brought us on board, and this has been a team collaboration to try to look at whether it was going to be effective in the non-human primates, and then show some promise that we can maybe move it towards a human clinical trial in the future.
And introduce a little bit to rhesus macaques. They're not the household name among primates for people. Tell us a little more about them.
Yeah, so they're a commonly used monkey in biomedical research. They've been used for a lot of neuroscience and vaccine studies. And here they're really a great model for human pregnancy because they have so many similar features in terms of their placentas and sort of their developmental span throughout pregnancy.
And then with rhesus macaques and other primates, is there more to learn about how similar or how different their pregnancies might be to us human primates?
I think that's something we are always trying to get at, because knowing any similarities and differences helps us better translate any of our work from monkeys to humans. And so that's a constant, always something we are keeping in mind. And the monkeys are such a great model for human pregnancy that they're also used for a lot of infection studies to understand how does mom becoming infected with a virus or a bacteria, how does that affect pregnancy? And also developing some imaging tools to better predict some of these pregnancy complications.
And can you talk a little bit about just the primates you're working with, the macaques, and how they're cared for, the kind of health they have to be part of this study?
I think one of the things that is not really well understood is that we have a lot of regulations, oversight, and protocols that as scientists and just as a center that we have to adhere to every single day in everything that we do. And UW has a great website that I can direct people to. It's Animals and Research and Teaching, or animalresearch.wis.edu here. And I think from a scientist perspective, animal care and animal health is one of the most important things to our studies, because if our animals weren't well or doing at the top of their game, we can't really trust our study results, and we need to be able to have complete confidence in our results and how we interpret those results. So the care here is absolutely excellent.
We're talking to Jenna Schmidt with UW-Madison, Wisconsin National Primate Research Center, looking at research on placenta health. Jenna, can you talk some about what you've learned now from this placenta study in these rhesus macaques and what it might point to in the future?
So what this study was, is it was a really short-term study. We saw that the delivery mechanism was working, and we looked at some of the safety parameters within the short timeframe, and everything appeared to check all our boxes. What we're currently trying to do is deliver this at a time point that would be similar to about third trimester in human pregnancy, and then sort of extend treatment all the way to term and see what the safety and efficacy of the treatment is, to just have a long-term profile on this treatment.
And then what would be the next step in this research?
The overall goal would be to take it to moving it into a human clinical trial and see how effective it is in human patients that are experiencing these pregnancy complications.
And just to put it in practical terms, if, down the road, if this became a treatment that could be used for people, what would that look like? Would someone be taking a pill during a pregnancy, or an IV, or what?
The optimal goal would be that it could just be delivered into mom's blood, and that we would have a homing sort of strategy where that particle would find itself to the placenta and only specifically target the placenta from mom's blood. There's a couple additional developments that we need to do to get that there yet, but currently as it is, it's looking pretty promising when we deliver it right to the placenta.
And is there a hope that, you know, in addition to boosting the placenta, hopefully, as a result of this research, to being able to predict when we might not have good placental development, when we to see early warning signs of some of the problems we talked about earlier?
Definitely. That's the goal, is to how can we develop and identify we usually call it non-invasive biomarkers of placental health. And what that means is, can we take a sample of mom's blood? And are there markers within mom's blood that we could use to sort of identify or use that as a readout of placental health? And if that's the case, how early can we find those markers? And I think we can continually do research to try to develop that and be able to use that as sort of a diagnostic criteria.
Now, the study we're talking about isn't the only thing you have in the works, I understand. What are some of the other big things you're working on right now?
Yeah, so a poorly functioning placenta, what people are most familiar with is seeing complications like preeclampsia, fetal growth restriction, stillbirth, those sorts of things. I think we all know somebody that might have experienced one of those. So it's really essential to being able to provide those nutrients. And when it's sick, that's where we start to see some of these pregnancy conditions. So I approach, in my lab approaches, pregnancy and trying to look at some of the genetic sort of precursors that might underlie some of these pregnancy conditions. And so we're working on teasing that apart in both embryos and placentas. And that's sort of our main focus in addition to these placenta therapy studies.
Now, maybe this is a dumb question. You know, we've heard a lot, of course, about gene mapping over the last decade or so. Do we gene map placentas? Does that give us anything different than gene mapping a mom and baby?
We do. It's a growing area. We are mapping genes, trying to understand how they change throughout pregnancy, because the placenta has a developmental period as well. So it needs to develop into its fully formed organ, and then it needs to maintain the pregnancy. So we need to understand those changes throughout pregnancy. And there's some work being done in humans as well. And so we can make those similarities and comparisons between the two species. It is a fetal organ. So we anticipate the placenta has, you know, some of the same genetic it should have all the same genetic material as that of the baby.
Jenna, we'll leave it there. Thanks for sharing your research with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
That's Jenna Schmidt, research assistant professor at UW-Madison's Wisconsin National Primate Research Center. She's working with Helen Jones from the University of Florida to develop treatments that would support a healthy placenta before childbirth. We also heard from Helen earlier about her research on the placenta and its role in complicated pregnancies.